This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. In a few minutes, we're going to focus on the aftermath of last week's blackout and on what needs to be done to improve the electrical power grid. But first, to Baghdad, where an enormous bomb devastated the compound used as the headquarters of the United Nations earlier today. UN officials confirm at least 14 people dead and many more injured. The UN Special Representative Sergio Vieira de Mello is among those killed. In a statement, Secretary General Kofi Annan vowed to continue the UN's mission in Iraq. President Bush expressed the sympathy of the American people and pledged that the United States will also stay the course. Here's an excerpt of the president's remarks.
Every sign of progress in Iraq adds to the desperation of the terrorists and the remnants of Saddam's brutal regime. The civilized world will not be intimidated, and these killers will not determine the future of Iraq.
NPR's Ann Garrels is with us now live from Baghdad with the latest, and Ann, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what you know of what happened there today?
Well, it was an enormous explosion. Windows were blown out as far as a mile away from the Canal Hotel. It's in fact not a hotel, but was the UN headquarters. Ambulances arrived, U.S. medevac helicopters, American troops, all trying to restore order in the midst of chaos and retrieve the wounded. And the dead. I don't think we have any real idea of the numbers at this point. You could see UN staffers ripping at the rubble, trying to get the UN representative, Sergio Vieira de Mello, out. It appears that he was alive immediately after the blast. He survived it, but was badly wounded. However, as the hours ticked by, and he could not be extracted. He has since died.
It's getting dark there in Baghdad now. Are rescue efforts still underway?
Yes, they are still underway. The site is now lit up. People are still trying to, and American troops have come in to help to try and get the other wounded out.
What was security like at this compound, this UN facility, before the explosion?
It was strict, and as the UN made quite clear today, the responsibility for security was in the hands of the occupying power here, in other words, the United States. There were American troops outside as well as UN officials, but there were no UN armed guards of any kind. American troops were the ones in charge. You know, they checked cars when they came in. It was, like much of the rest of security here.
What's been the reaction there to the attack?
Shock. Absolute shock. And, the more these events happen, the more Iraqis fall into despair. This follows on the heel of an attack, 12 days ago at the Jordanian embassy. There were a couple of fires on a critical oil pipeline going from the northern city of Kirkuk to Turkey. The electric system is still not working well because of looting and sabotage. It just goes on and on. So this is adding to the despair.
Obviously, we've heard for many weeks now that the welcome to U.S. troops when they arrived has long since soured in many places in Iraq. But what about the United Nations?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, the United Nations had not supported the war. It had been supporting the sanctions up until the war, so Iraqis weren't thrilled about it then. But since then, with the arrival of Sergio Vieira de Mello, and the UN separate but coordination with the U.S. to provide humanitarian aid, he had made it clear that his goal was the restoration of Iraqi independence and sovereignty. And the building that was hit today in that building were UN humanitarian agencies that are helping Iraqis with medical care, justice, human rights, children, you name it. The problem is what you've got here now is a confluence of interest between varied and highly dissimilar groups, but their interest is in stopping the rebuilding of Iraq by outside forces, whoever they are. And these groups include Islamists, Americans say that there are outside terrorists coming in, former members of the regime, and they want to stop the international community as much as they can from showing that they can create a new Iraq, I think.
Could you give us a little more detail? I mean, some people thought the UN did not have much of a role inside Iraq. Obviously, there were an awful lot of people in this compound. What kinds of programs was the UN involved in?
A range of programs. There were anywhere between 200 and 300 people in the compound that was hit. There are hundreds more scattered around the country. There are hundreds and hundreds of Iraqis who were also working with the UN. They're working on women's issues, human rights issues, justice issues, food. They are the ones providing the continued food rations to the Iraqis. They've got programs in hospitals. They had just got up and running again, and because of security concerns, their programs were not as extensive as they might have been. But they were here, largely doing humanitarian projects.
And we speak in the past tense. Obviously, everybody today is speaking of the United Nations vowing to continue its missions and its roles in Iraq. One other question, Annie, and that is that before this explosion, the news out of Baghdad today was of the capture of Saddam Hussein's former vice president, Taha Yassin Ramadan. Tell us a little bit about him and how he was captured.
Well, he was captured in Mosul, his hometown in the north of Iraq, by U.S. Kurdish allies. He had reportedly been trying to disguise himself as a peasant. This was his home area, and he'd been moving over the last 2 weeks from house to house and finally tracked him down. And last month, you'll recall, Saddam's two sons were also captured in Mosul. So this fuels some speculation that perhaps Saddam Hussein might be hiding out there. Ramadan was a very close associate of Saddam's. He, now in his 60s, he'd been one of the original plotters, along with Saddam of the 1968 coup that brought the Ba'ath Party to power. He was ruthless at home and crude in his dealings with the outside world. He was a longtime member of Saddam's inner circle, and he supervised many of the purges carried out by Saddam to eliminate rivals. And he was number 20 on the U.S. Most Wanted list.
He's now been turned over to American officials. Is he there, presumably, in Baghdad?
He has been turned over to American officials, but they never tell us where these people have been taken. Eventually, they seem to end up in the airport area outside of Baghdad, but initially, they may well be questioned elsewhere.
Ann Garrels, thanks very much.
Thank you.
NPR's Ann Garrels on the line with us from her hotel in Baghdad. As we heard earlier, one of the casualties in today's explosion at the United Nations compound in Baghdad is Sergio Vieira de Mello, the UN envoy. He was trapped in the rubble after the explosion. Joining us now is, let me tell you a little bit about him. He was the top UN envoy in Iraq, a rising star in the United Nations system, one of the UN people killed today. Vieira de Mello is a Brazilian, husband, the father of two boys. He'd been frequently mentioned as a possible candidate for Secretary General. The native Brazilian was fluent in English, French, Spanish, and his native Portuguese. Considered to be one of the more effective UN employees, he handled some of the world's most difficult missions, from Kosovo in the Balkans to East Timor in the Pacific. Joining us now to tell us more about him is Edward Luck, Director of the Center on International Organization at the School of International and Public Affairs at Columbia University. And thanks very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
What can you tell us about Mr. Mello?
Well, I think your description is very accurate. He was a very dynamic civil servant, someone who's very devoted to the UN system, but unusual in a couple of ways. One, because of his enormous personal charm. Pretty much everyone liked him. Everyone saw him as a real comer, as someone, as you mentioned, who had a real possibility over time of becoming a Secretary General from within the system, as Kofi Annan did, rather than from the outside. In fact, one of the reasons why he is was in Iraq and was a force there was because President Bush himself was personally very taken by his personality and his energy. He had a lot of very important, very tough posts. People sometimes forget that not only is he the Secretary General's special representative in Iraq, but also the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, a very important position in Geneva. And he said he was only going to go for maybe 5 months to Iraq because he was so much needed and wanted there. But he had a really very much a full-time global position in being in charge of human rights for the UN. I think when I first met him was when he was political advisor for the UNPROFOR mission in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Then he went on to be in charge of humanitarian affairs at the UN, went to head the operation in East Timor, and then got the post as High Commissioner for Human Rights. So he had a lot of quite high-profile positions and some which involved considerable risk, but obviously none as much as the operation in Baghdad.
Indeed, we're told that he was due to rotate out of Baghdad in just a little over a week's time before the explosion that took his life and the life of at least 13 others earlier today. What will his death do to the United Nations mission in Iraq and perhaps more importantly to the United Nations overall?
Well, it's striking that just last Friday the Security Council passed this Resolution 1500, which set up the UN mission in Iraq as a real mission, as opposed to just an office of a special representative and certain disparate humanitarian and other groups. It really was bringing it together, and they thought that, in fact, it'd have a total support of about 300 people, both Iraqis and international civil servants. And so, in a sense, hopefully this will mean that the UN really is fully committed and the international community has overcome the hangover from the fighting within the council, the squabbling about the war in Iraq, and recognize that this is now an international project and everyone has to pull together. And I think it reminds us one more time that it's not just soldiers who are vulnerable, but very often it's civilians, including those who are doing humanitarian work, who are often the targets of terrorists and dissidents and whatever in these kinds of situations. So I hope it means that everyone recognizes that the plight of the Iraqi people is a problem for the whole international community now and not just the U.S. or British or a problem for the occupying powers. So I hope that it stiffens the spine and the creates more unity within the international community and everyone pulls together, whatever the past differences might have been. Because one has to recognize that the UN is not immune, humanitarians are not immune. In this kind of situation, everybody is potentially vulnerable and everyone has an important role to play. And hopefully this will bring people together and they will recognize how tough and how desperate the resistance is in Iraq and how reluctant some of the forces are to move forward. Because clearly the things that Sergio was trying to do and the UN people there had nothing to do with occupation. And everything to do with trying to improve the lot of the Iraqi people.
Sergio De Mello, the latest in a long list of UN officials going back, I guess, to Dag Hammarskjöld to die in the line of duty. Much more on this story, the explosion in Baghdad and the effect on the United Nations later today on NPR News. So stay tuned for more details as they develop on this breaking story. Edward Luck, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Edward Luck is director of the Center on International Organization at the School of International and Public Affairs at Columbia University. He was on the phone with us from Hockessin, Delaware. When we come back, we're going to start talking about what we need to do to improve the nation's energy grid. The solutions may mean more dollars on your electricity bill or more power lines on your horizon. What are you willing to sacrifice to know that the lights will stay on? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, the email address, TOTN@NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.